The telephone was ringing. I climbed toward it from a drowning dream where I couldn't catch my breath, rising into early sunlight, wincing at the pain in the back of my head as I swung my feet out of bed. The phone would quit before I got to it. They almost always do in such situations, and then I'd lie back down and spend a fruitless 10 minutes wondering who it had been before getting up for good. Ring, ring, ring. Was that 10? A dozen? I'd lost count. Someone was really dedicated. I hoped it wasn't trouble, but in my experience, people don't try that hard when the news is good. I touched my fingers gingerly to the back of my head. It hurt plenty, but that deep, sick ache seemed to be gone, and there was no blood on my fingers when I looked at them. I padded down the hall and picked up the phone. Hello? Well, you won't have to worry about testifying at the kid's custody hearing anymore, at least. Bill? Yeah? How did you know? I leaned around the corner and peered at the waggy, annoying cat clock. 7:20 and already sweltering. Hot in a bugger, as us T.I. Martians like to say. How do you know he decided? I don't know nothing about his business one way or the other. Bill sounded touchy. He never called to ask my advice, and I never called to give him any. What's happened? What's going on? You haven't had the TV on yet? I don't even have the coffee on yet. No apology from Bill. He was a fellow who believed that people who didn't get up until after 6 a.m. deserved whatever they got. I was awake now, though, and had a pretty good idea of what was coming. DeVoe killed himself last night, Mike. Got into a tub of warm water and pulled a plastic bag over his head. Mustn't have taken long with his lungs the way they were. No, I thought. Probably not long. In spite of the humid summer heat that already lay on the house, I shivered. Who found him? The woman? Yeah, sure. What time? Shortly before midnight, they said on the Channel 6 news. Right around the time I had awakened on the couch and taken myself stiffly off to bed, in other words. Is she implicated? Did she play Kevorkian, you mean? The news report I saw didn't say nothing about that. The gossip mill at the Lakeview General Store will be turning brisk by now, but I ain't been down yet for my share of the grain. If she helped him, I don't think she'll ever see trouble for it, do you? He was 85 and not well. Do you know if he'll be buried on the TR? California. She said there'd be services in Palm Springs on Tuesday. A sense of surpassing oddness swept over me as I realized the source of Maddie's problems might be lying in a chapel filled with flowers at the same time the friends of Kyra DeVore were digesting their lunches and getting ready to start throwing the frisbee around. It's going to be a celebration, I thought wonderingly. I don't know how they're going to handle it in the little chapel of the microchips in Palm Springs, but on Wasp Hill Road, they're going to be dancing and throwing their arms in the sky and hollering, "Yes, Lord!" I'd never been glad to hear of anyone's death before in my life, but I was glad to hear of DeVore's. I was sorry to feel that way, but I did. The old bastard had dumped me in the lake, but before the night was over, he was the one who had drowned. Inside a plastic bag he had drowned, sitting in a tub of tepid water. Any idea how the TV guys got onto it so fast? It wasn't super fast, not with 7 hours between the discovery of the body and the 7 o'clock news, but TV news people have a tendency to be lazy. Whitmore called them. Had a press conference right there in Warrington's parlor at 2 o'clock this morning. Took questions setting on that big red plush sofa, the one Joe always used to say should be in a saloon oil painting with a naked woman lying on it, remember? Yeah. I saw a couple of county deputies walking around in the background, plus a fella I recognized from Jacquard's funeral home in Martin. That's bizarre, I said. Yeah, body still upstairs, most likely, while Whitmore was running her gums, but she claimed she was just following the boss's orders. Said he left a tape saying he'd done it on Friday night so as not to affect the company's stock price and wanted Roguette to call the press right off and assure folks that the company was solid, that between his son and the board of directors, everything was going to be just acey-deucey. Then she told about the services in Palm Springs. He commits suicide, then holds a 2 a.m. press conference by proxy to soothe the stockholders. Heya! And it sounds just like him. A silence fell between us on the line. I tried to think and couldn't. All I knew was that I wanted to go upstairs and work, aching head or no aching head. I wanted to rejoin Andy Drake, John Shackelford, and Shackelford's childhood friend, the awful Ray Garrity. There was madness in my story, but it was a madness I understood. "Bill," I said at last, "are we still friends?" "Christ, yes," he said promptly. "But if there's people around who seem a little standoffy to you, you'll know why, won't you?" Sure I'd know. Many would blame the old man's death on me. It was crazy, given his physical condition, and it would by no means be a majority opinion, but the idea would gain a certain amount of credence, at least in the short run. I knew that as well as I knew the truth about John Shackelford's childhood friend. "Kiddies, once upon a time there was a goose that flew back to the little, unincorporated township where it had lived as a downy gosling. It began laying lovely golden eggs every place, and the townsfolk all gathered around to marvel and receive their share. Now, however, that goose was cooked, and someone had to take the heat. I'd get some, but Maddie's kitchen might get a few degrees toastier than mine. She'd had the temerity to fight for her child instead of silently handing Kai over. "Keep your head down the next few weeks," Bill said. "That'd be my idea. In fact, if you had business that took you right out of the TI until this settles down, that might be for the best." "I appreciate the sense of what you're saying, but I can't. I'm writing a book. If I pick up my shit and move, it's apt to die on me. It's happened before, and I don't want it to happen this time." "Pretty good yarn, is it?" "Not bad, but that's not the important thing. It's, well, let's just say this one's important to me for other reasons." "Wouldn't it travel as far as Derry?" "Are you trying to get rid of me, William?" "I'm trying to keep an eye out, that's all. Caretaking's my job, you know. And don't say you weren't warned. The hive's gonna buzz. There's two stories going around about you, Mike. One is that you're shacking with Maddie DeVore. The other is that you came back to write a hatchet job on the TI. Pull out all the old skeletons you can find."
"Finish what Joe started, in other words. Who's been spreading that story, Bill?"
Silence from Bill. We were back on earthquake ground again, and this time that ground felt shakier than ever. "The book I'm working on is a novel," I said, "set in Florida."
"Oh, yeah?"
You wouldn't think three little syllables could have so much relief in them. "Think you could kind of pass that around?"
"I think I could," he said. "If you tell Brenda Meserve, it'd get around even faster and go even farther."
"Okay, I will. As far as Maddie goes, Mike, you don't have to..." "I'm not shacking with her. That was never the deal. The deal was like walking down the street, turning the corner, and seeing a big guy beating up a little guy." I paused. "She and her lawyer are planning a barbecue at her place Tuesday noon. I'm planning to join them. Are people from town going to think we're dancing on DeVore's grave?"
"Some will. Royce Merrill will. Dickie Brooks will. Old ladies in pants, Yvette calls them."
"Well, fuck them," I said. "Every last one."
"I understand how you feel, but tell her not to shove it in folks' faces," he almost pleaded. "Do that much, Mike. 'Twouldn't kill her to drag a grill around the back of her trailer, would it?
At least with it there, folks looking out from the store or the garage wouldn't see nothing but the smoke." "I'll pass on the message. And if I make the party, I'll drag the barbecue around back myself."
"You'd do well to stay away from that girl and her child," Bill said. "You can tell me it's none of my business, but I'm talking to you like a Dutch uncle, telling you for your own good."
I had a flash of my dream then, the slick, exquisite tightness as I slipped inside her, the little breasts with their hard nipples, her voice in the darkness telling me to do what I wanted. My body responded almost instantly. "I know you are," I said.
"All right."
He sounded relieved that I wasn't going to scold him. "Take him to school," he would have said.
I'll let you go and have your breakfast. I appreciate you calling. Almost didn't. The vet talked me into it. She said you always liked Mike and Joe Noonan best of all the ones you did for. Don't you get in bad with him now that he's back home. Tell her I appreciate it, I said. I hung up the phone and looked at it thoughtfully. We seemed to be on good terms again, but I didn't think we were exactly friends, certainly not the way we had been. That had changed when I realized Bill was lying to me about some things and holding back about others. It had also changed when I realized what he had almost called Sarah and the Red Tops. You can't condemn a man for what may only be a figment of your own imagination. True, and I try not to do it, but I knew what I knew.